Here we go. It's the third hour of First Up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Karolnik, Carlo Koliakovo on this rainy Wednesday morning in southern Ontario. A man who's visiting from San Jose. He's probably like, what the hell am I doing here? Brett Hedekin. He'll join us at 8:45. He's the color commentator.
How pumped are you to
for
get
the
out
Sharks?
Of here,
yeah, so tomorrow morning I fly to Cancun, and then we take a shuttle from Cancun to Playa del Carmen, and this is the big CFL betting excursion. Had a lot of success this year betting on the CFL.
Treating yourself to a
And I am treating myself to a six spot.
Are you six golfing spot while Playa. You're there?
No, I don't think so.
Just
pool, beach,
sun,
margaritas.
This is what I hope you do. I hope today when you go home and you pack, you put your suitcase outside and you bring a lot of this rain and water that we have accumulated today with you to Mexico.
Sorry, are you saying you hope it rains while I'm on vacation?
Yes, I hope it does.
That is terrible. I'm going to go cut your brakes during the commercial break. How dare you say that? That is a terrible omen. That, and if it rains, I will be blaming you. The weather gods listen to you. You always say, Weather
mush,
Network doesn't
buddy.
Know anything.
I'm a mush.
Wow.
Yeah.
I cannot believe the disrespect.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you're
You were invited.
Sunshine.
You were invited to come.
I was never invited. I was never part of your CFL winning.
My CFL betting syndicate?
You keep everything to yourself. You tell me afterwards, oh my God, I won so much money.
I never said like, that. Hey, I didn't win that much. Just a couple bucks here and there. Yeah. Nothing too crazy.
Yeah, I don't see my face on your shirt that you're wearing.
I do have a shirt and a rod. Maybe you want to come in and take a picture of it. This is my boys, Phil.
So which one are you?
Tushar Zach. That's me with the, I don't know. We'll tweet out a picture of my Gamblers Anonymous shirt. You know, I'm sure you have text threads with your buddies.
Oh, of course, man. Those
We're
are the
just
best
like, hey, I'm on the Cowboys -4.5.
Those
and they're
the
like, that's a brutal. Yeah, and everyone's got a secret gambling thread, and you can really tell who the D-gens are. It's almost always me. I'm just sending out like Jalen Brunson basketball props to these guys.
What you do is a little much, but.
Well,
power to you, man.
Pays for a trip to Cancun.
If you're winning, by all means, you're doing it right.
Yeah, and shout out to Frankie Corrado, who's listening and made a very inappropriate joke about my trip.
Oh, he's hoping it rains too?
No, he's not. He's hoping for something else. But be mature, Frankie. That's something that Frankie and I have talked about a lot, about our lack of maturity and how we need to improve that. It's clearly Frankie that is the immature one.
He didn't say something about something bad happening to you on your flight.
No. God, is that still happening these days? Like, Pearson's kosher now, right? Like, it's not a debacle?
Dude, I haven't been close to an airport in almost 4 years. I don't have any clue what goes on at the airport.
All right, well, Texas 1050.
I just hope this whole nonsense of, like, travel delays and luggage loss and stuff like that.
No, but carry-ons only. Carry-ons
but
only.
But Duffy went to Qatar. And did he get his luggage back?
He must have got his luggage. Well, I'm seeing Duffy's wearing all these new TSN golf shirts. This must be the fall collection.
Yeah, he's probably getting all the stuff that they brought extra.
I can't even imagine. Like, James Duffy's closet at his home in Aurora must have so much TSN swag in there.
Probably. He's been around forever.
Yeah, he is very old. It is true. Yeah. Also, fantastic broadcaster. Shout out to JD.
Hey,
JD
okay.
will be on.
Is he coming back for the Leaf game tonight?
Or? I don't think he'll be back for the Leaf game tonight. Is that on TSN today? The San Jose game? I know we have the Raptors and Pelicans here on TSN 1050.
Actually, might be tonight because, they weren't on Monday, so it might be tonight. I don't know.
All right, we'll get the answer on that in just a sec. Regardless if it's on TSN or not, we'll be very focused in on the Leafs and the San Jose Sharks. San Jose played last night in Montreal. They won
4-0.
It's not. All right. So I'm not even going to watch it. I'm going to listen to it on radio. Actually, no, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to stream the San Jose broadcast with Brett Hedekin. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm consuming the Leafs and the Sharks tonight. But I'm fired up for the game.
Yeah, man.
Because Mitch Marner's got it rocking right now. He's got 17 games in a row in which he's recorded a point. And Marner yesterday addressed the media. He's asked all about it. How do you keep level-headed? How do you keep focused in spite of all the questions and media scrutiny? Oh, Mitch, you got 17 in a row, one away from the Leafs record. Here's Marner being asked about changes to his routine during the streak.
I try to just do my thing. I mean, it's hard to keep the same routine for road trips and home games and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm not trying to worry about too much stuff. I'm really not that superstitious about things, so I'm trying not to be any more, I guess, superstitious than already, and just try to do my thing.
Yeah.
Try to do his thing.
There's another clip where he talks about messages from his buddies and how they just talk about Call of Duty and fantasy football.
Imagine a group chat talking about Call of Duty.
Yeah, kind of nerdy.
I haven't played video games in forever, and I'm actually hoping that, you know, my son's getting into video games.
Really? What's he playing? Like Nintendo Switch or whatever it's called?
No, Xbox.
Wii? Oh, he plays Xbox.
Well, Christmas is coming up, so maybe he might get a new console. But he's been playing my old Xbox with my old games, and he loves these like Lego Marvel games. And I'm actually like blown away at 5 years old how like impressive he is. Like, he's teaching me how to play these games, because I have no idea what you do. Like, you're supposed to like break stuff and then build stuff and then complete levels and stuff like that. And he watches YouTube videos on this stuff, and he's just so dialed in. And I really want him to start playing hockey. And
well, he should be playing like NHL 13, where his dad is like a 74 third pairing defenseman on St. Louis.
What I love about what he's doing right now, he's really starting to get into hockey, because like, we're playing mini sticks downstairs in the basement. He always asks me to go in net so he can shoot on me, and that's fun and stuff. But I really want him to start learning how to play hockey in the video games, because I truly do believe, and I say this to a lot of young kids, if you really believe that you want to be a hockey player and you're obsessed with video games, well, play the hockey video game, because playing the hockey video game can help improve your hockey IQ.
Definitely.
Because you're literally playing a game by yourself, and you're using your mind to create plays in the game that translate to you creating plays on the ice. And people don't process that.
I will say, I was top 100 in the world in NHL 10.
Are you serious?
On Xbox, yes. I was an unbelievable Chell player back in the day.
Wow.
And I won a couple of tournaments at Western as well. Like, this was some serious business.
Yeah.
And it did not translate to on the ice, I can tell you that. But off the ice, my NHL skills were basically incomparable. I was a force. A text coming in 10:50:50 saying, I will fall asleep on the plane and get taken off like Odell Beckham Jr.
Like Odell Beckham Jr. did.
I really hope not. So I really hope not.
Going back to the conversation with my son, you brought up a great thing that happened yesterday, because he's really, like, he's into hockey cards now, and he's into those pop characters, like those, I don't even know how to, Funko Pops. Yes, those Funko
Pops. Funko Pops?
Yeah, so they're literally, how would you explain it? They're like, they're figurines of hockey players, right? And he's like I've got a bunch of them at home. I've got them in my background at my desk, and I've got a couple boxes, and he's been really learning like the players and the teams and stuff. And last night he comes to me as I'm watching the Habs game, and he goes, Daddy, is the Leafs playing today? Is Mitch Marner on TV? Because he's a huge Mitch Marner fan. Like, he absolutely loves Mitch Marner. And I said, no, they're not on tonight, but the team that Daddy calls games for is playing, Montreal Canadiens. He's like, well, who's the best player on that team? And I said, Nick Suzuki and Cole Kopf. He goes, do I have any of those players? I said, no, not yet. Do you want some? He goes, no, they play for the Canadiens. I want more Maple Leafs.
Yes, players. That is what I'm talking about,
so
Leo.
Then he says to me, he goes, is there any other games on? And the only game that was on was Carolina-Pittsburgh. And I said to him, I said, yeah, there's another game on. It's the Hurricanes and the Pittsburgh Penguins. He goes, oh, the Penguins are on? Is that Sidney Crosby's team? I was like, yeah. So I put the game on right away. Dude, I'm not even kidding. As soon as I put the game on, Sidney Crosby went down and scored a goal. And I was like, oh, my God, Leo, Crosby just scored. He's like, that's Sidney Crosby? He just scored. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, my God, it's amazing. He started celebrating and stuff like that. Then he went to go get all his figurines, and he's like, okay, Daddy, who's the guy that plays on the other team that I would own? That's Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. I said, well, their best player is probably Aho, but Brent Burns plays on that team. He's like, oh, we have that guy. He went and got the Funko Pop of Brent Burns in the San Jose Sharks uniform.
It's going to be so cool, like, for him when he's a little bit older and kind of understands, like, you played against Sidney Crosby. And he's going to be like, what do you mean you played against Sidney Crosby? So, Alexander Ovechkin.
It's funny you say that, because last couple weeks ago they had a sleepover at my in-laws. And my in-laws have a lot of my, like, old collectible stuff. So he went through their stash, and he brought home a whole, like, basket full of, like, my old articles, my old team pictures that I was on. He was jacked. He's like, Daddy, I got, like, pictures of you. And, like,
the I put it on eBay. No one's buying it. I don't know what's going on.
I'm really, really excited that he's like, getting excited about hockey. And I'm hoping that you know, we start playing video games together, because I would love to play the game, the NHL game together with him.
And invite me over. I'll teach both of you guys how to play
that game as well, too. And then once he does that, I hope that drive continues into playing hockey. Because, look, I'm not going to force him into hockey. I want him to come tell me he wants to play hockey. And we're almost there right now. We're almost there.
The revelation I had about me being a top 100 NHL player in university doesn't necessarily correlate to being a cool person. And Frankie pointed that out to me via text.
So you're not a cool person?
Well, I think 100? Now I'm pretty cool. Dude, but back in the day, if you're a top 100 NHL player, that's basically all you're doing.
And I had no
There was a lot of NHL
that.
Going on back in the day.
You played Xbox Live or PlayStation Live.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was ranked so highly.
Dude, there was nothing more fun than literally getting a group of guys together on a Tuesday, Wednesday night where you can't really do much. And when I played in St. Louis, I was playing like with Petro and all of his other young guys that came up. We all lived in the same condo complex. So literally after dinner, we go back and we would have Xbox Live tournaments where we would all play on the same team. Like
with five. Someone was the goalie too?
Well, we were no goalie.
You're the goalie, you're terrible. Everyone
five
sucks.
Guys, each guy had their own remote control, and you're playing against somebody else on Xbox Live. And it was unbelievable.
Imagine if you're the other person playing. Like, who am I playing against right now? These guys are pretty good. It's like, it's like Petrangelo, TJ Oshie, Coley Akimo,
David Perron.
That's awesome. Oh, yeah. That is awesome. That's really cool.
So much fun, man. And so I never got that good, like what I could call myself top 100. Like I would actually get dusted playing like guys on Xbox Live, because you get these just hero guys that would just so the thing I hated about Xbox Live was when you would play and you'd be beating the person, they would quit midway through the game.
Rage quit.
Because it wouldn't count against their record.
No, I think they still give you the L, but you just don't want to waste your time.
Anyways, I would never do that. I always play right to the end.
Yeah, sure. You definitely rage quitted.
No, I never played for like a ranking. I just played because I was competitive. But I did go to school with that guy in high school who, aside from the NHL, played FIFA a lot. And he was like a top 10 player in the world playing FIFA video games. This guy would go to like the FIFA EA Sport tournaments. And you know how they had the Madden bus and stuff like that? And so I never got that good at video games. I was just more like competitive.
You were, professional hockey player.
Right.
So you had, you were actually playing.
I playing the game
for money.
Yes.
And
as a sport,
20,000 people came and watched. Yeah, yes. It was a little bit cooler than me.
Yeah.
Slightly, very slightly cooler than what I had going on. But I love to hear about those your teammates. You guys are all, it's like, Coley Akimo to Petrangelo. Best, yeah, it's so much fun.
Like think about you, and that's what I love the most. I hated playing one on one. I loved playing like group games because it's like it brought out the competitive juices. Like each guy had their own player, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really cool story. We will welcome Brett Hedekin to the show at 8:45. He is the color commentator for the San Jose Sharks. We'll look at the Raptors and the New Orleans Pelicans as well. Big test for OG Anunoby. If you can lock down Zion, all right, you can give him the defensive player of the year.
Have you watched Zion playing all this year?
Oh, yeah. I watched the most recent game. I took his over points, rebounds, and assists. It was 40 and a half. He finished with 40. So needless to say, I wasn't overly enthused. But Zion looked really good. And I think it's going to be a tough test tonight against a really difficult New Orleans team. So we'll look into that as well. And Arad Asvandi has a debut segment on the other side. It's called December to Remember.
Interesting.
As today is the last day of November, and maybe he's implying.
Oh my God, it's the last day of November? What the hell is going on?
Maybe he's implying that this coming month in December is going to be a big one. That's next on First Up. This is Back to December by Taylor Swift off the iconic album in 2010, Speak Now. And this is First Up here on TSN 1050. Ah! Back to December. Man, it brings back some good memories. I had one December.
Is that what makes your night, like just jamming away to Taylor Swift music?
Don't forget about my afternoons and mornings as well.
Your days, maybe.
not quite. Just the new album, it's been out for maybe a month now. It's gotten a bunch of spins.
Okay.
Good. It's good stuff. Okay. Shout out to Taylor Swift and Back to December. Well, the month of December begins tomorrow, and we felt it pertinent to look ahead to the month that is to come and the month that has already been here in November. So Arad Asvandi has titled this segment December to Remember, implying we've got quite a month ahead in the sports world and beyond. Arad, what are we talking about here?
So I will bring up a trend that has happened so far in 2022. You tell me if you want to bring it to December with you or if you want to leave it in November.
Okay.
So Rock. Let's begin with the Maple Leafs. Matthews and Marner playing on separate lines. Do you want to bring it to December with you or do you want to leave it in November?
Yeah, I'm bringing it to December because clearly, Marner... Anybody Marner plays right now is on the verge of having a career year. I mean, you look at Matthews scoring 60 last year, Michael Bunting having a career year in points, John Tavares, when he played with him for a full season, scored the most goals in his career. I mean, John Tavares has elevated his game to another level this year, again, playing with Mitch Marner. I just think that, you know, they've got a good combination going right now with John Tavares and with Nylander playing with Matthews. And I think... You don't fix what ain't broken. And
you don't broke what ain't fixed.
Right. Nice. I think you do carry that to December.
For sure. For sure. At least, like, you know, for the first couple of days of December. And that could change really quickly. I think it'll be a very fluid situation with Matthews and Marner. I'm sure there'll be times when they play together and there'll be times when they play separately. But for now, the way things are rolling for the Leafs, again, they've won four straight games all on the road. Come home tonight against San Jose, and at least from the outset tonight, Matthews and Marner will be playing on separate lines, and I think you do indeed take that to December. What's next?
Let's go to the Raptors here. Nick Nurse using his bench more during games. So not relying on his starters, not playing Pascal Siakam and Fred 38 minutes. Do you want that to come to December, or do you want to leave that in November?
No, I want to leave that in November. I want the best players playing significant minutes because that's the way the Toronto Raptors are going to win basketball games, having their best players on the court. And the Raptors are getting healthier. We saw Siakam and Scottie Barnes make their return. Precious Achiuwa probably out until at least mid-December. So hopefully he's able to come back. And when the Toronto Raptors are fully constituted, fully healthy, this is a nasty team, and I'm not saying they're the best team in the Eastern Conference, but they're a team that could vie for a top four spot in the East if everybody is healthy and playing to their top of their abilities. And if that's the case, then I don't want, you know, Juancho Hernan Gomez playing when he doesn't have to be. He's playing well with all the injuries now, but I think he's a Bo Cruz, my mistake. I think he's a guy who probably rides the pine when everyone's fully healthy, and that's what I want to see in December.
See, AK, I'm going to disagree with you on this because the question was leave it in November or bring it to December. I want to bring it to December, the fact that the Raptors use more of their bench, because you want the Raptors in April to go to an eight-man rotation come playoff time when the games matter the most. So bring it to December because it's a long season and we see the injuries that come up with the players on this team when they play so much every night with Pascal Siakam, in particular with Fred VanVleet, when last year he was basically broken down because of how much they played him every night. So bring it to December, maybe even bring it to January, the fact that you're using more of your bench so that come March, April, you're dialed in with your 7-8 guys in your rotation that are load managed more throughout the season.
But I don't think the Raptors are necessarily in a position where they could be load managing guys. They're a good team, but they could be a great team if everyone's playing. But you don't want to be in the play-in, is what I'm saying.
No, you don't.
And right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, that's where they'd be situated.
But so if you think about it, their starting five is Pascal, Scotty, even though Scotty came off the bench last game. But let's just say how it is. It's Pascal, Scotty, OG, Fred VanVleet, and then pick your poison.
Gary Trent, Precious Achiuwa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then you've got Koloko coming off the bench, Ken Birch, maybe you throw in Malachi Flynn.
Banton.
Thaddeus Young, Banton, Otto Porter Jr.
They're deep.
You could easily put together a 10-man rotation and then dial into your 7 or 8 guys that you use come playoff time.
Leave it in November. Let's let the big boys flow.
I'm big favorite if it means this team's going to stay healthier throughout the season, because let's be honest, they always find a way to win no matter who's in the lineup. That's how good they can scheme up a game plan. I'm bringing it to December, buddy.
Go ahead, Rod.
This is something that I love. I would personally bring it to December, but questions to you guys. Foggy mornings in Toronto. Those thick, foggy mornings in Toronto. Do you want to leave them in November, or take him to December with you.
You love those mornings?
I love a nice, spooky, misty fog.
What? No, leave it in November, man. I don't want that. This morning's drive-in was depressing.
It was raining really hard. But here's the thing about fog. It implies that there's some
moisture,
moisture and perhaps heat in the air. It's not going to be freezing cold. Like on a cold winter morning, there's no fog. Fog kind of, I don't know, I would think it correlates to plus temperatures, right? I don't know. I'm not a meteorologist.
It's gray outside. Yeah. It means you're on the verge of like rain or showers. No, man, leave it in November. I want blue skies, white snow.
Sunshine.
Sunshine.
No snow, though.
No cold. No.
Again,
fog.
Snow and cold work together.
No, they don't.
In tandem. No, they don't. They do. They're like Stockton and Malone. What else you got, Rod?
Last one for today. Do you want the small World Cup teams, the smaller non-traditional powerhouses, to keep upsetting the big names? Or do you want the big names to start winning? So do you want the upsets to stay in November? Or do you want the upsets to go to the knockout round in December?
Oh, give me all of the upsets and even more of the upsets in December, because I love nothing more in sports than the underdog story. Look, there are powerhouses, there are dynasties, and yes, they deserve all the credit in the world, but don't you get like bored of watching the same thing all the time? I think that's what keeps the spirit of sports for me is the fact that you see, you know, these new teams and these new cities and new countries rallying in different.
You don't want to watch Senegal. You want to watch?
Yes,
no, you don't. You want to watch Mbappe. You want to watch Messi
come into the brink and they're doing their dances and the.
You want to watch Ronaldo? And my personal team is the Netherlands. By the way, I recently selected them as my guys going forward.
Interesting.
So
you've gone away from
the
Denver.
Dutch. Oh, and Denmark. I like Denmark, too. Okay. Denmark and the Netherlands. Obviously, there's wagers and that are part of the equation here. But
I tell you what.
Netherlands, they can take it down.
I know this isn't the underdog team, but based on the way I've seen them play for the first two games, actually the first three games, Brazil, like the way they play the game of soccer and how exciting they create plays, I would love to see Brazil go all the way.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And Brazil's got a ton of talent, no doubt. And if they did, that'd be quite the story.
Zero shots on goal they've given up in two games.
That's wild.
Zero.
They're like the New Jersey Devils of Martin Brodeur's era. Speaking of December, on December the 9th, comedian Bert Kreischer's Birdie Boy Relapse Tour is coming to Toronto. And here is your chance to win a pair of tickets to the show. It's December 9th. At Meridian Hall at 9:30. The number, and Chrissy, you can open up the phone lines now, 416-870-1050. The ninth caller through wins those tickets. So Chrissy, make sure to X out the first eight. The ninth caller through gets tickets to see the Birdie Boy Relapse Tour, and tickets are on sale now, ticketmaster.ca. We'll talk to Brett Hedekin in about 15 minutes, who covers the San Jose Sharks for... I believe it's radio and television, and he's a longtime NHLer, and I know he's got a story about Jeff O'Neill learning to play guitar back in the day when they played together in Carolina.
You know, Brett Hedekin was a guy that I was really, really envious of when he played.
Really?
I was obsessed with how amazing Brett Hedekin used to skate.
All right, well, we'll bring that up to him.
He was an amazing skater.
All right, and an amazing guest. He's up in 15 minutes as we continue here on First Up next. We continue here on First Up. This is TSN 1050, and this is Aaron Korolnik alongside Carlo Koliakovo. Brett Hedekin will join us in about 15 minutes. Longtime NHL D-man, now a color commentator with the San Jose Sharks. We're in town tonight to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll talk some Bills as well at the top of the 9 o'clock hour with Sal Cabaccio.
Big Thursday nighter tomorrow.
Big Thursday nighter tomorrow. It is the Bills and the Patriots. Koliakovo versus Osvandi. Head to head here on First Up. Some big news with regards to the Toronto Blue Jays. Don Mattingly. Donnie Baseball. Mm. A legend. Who has been the manager of the Dodgers, the Marlins, a great player over the years with the New York Yankees, reportedly close to joining the Toronto Blue Jays as a bench coach. And his rationale, and he didn't specifically say, I'm joining Toronto, but he was on a podcast yesterday and was asked about his future, and he says, I'm talking to a team, and the reason I like this team is because they've got a chance to win and win now. And I think for the Toronto Blue Jays and their fans, that goes a long way in showing what people around baseball, especially Don Mattingly, who's very highly regarded, great player, quality manager over the years as well. If he's willing to take the job as bench coach next to John Schneider, that really speaks to at least what he views this team could be as early as this season.
So when you hear those comments, win and win now, do you really believe that the Blue Jays are close to winning the World Series?
Well, we'll see what the team looks like. There's still a lot of pieces to be
Well, I remember last year, together. Beginning of the season, everyone was predicting them as World Series champions, and I sat there and I said, wait a minute, this is a team that's had zero playoff success in the longest time, and you've got a young group, and now all of a sudden you can just think that you can... Like, look at what Houston's done.
They go out and get Jose Abreu.
Houston's been to the finals 5 out of the last 7 years, or 4 out of the last 6 years?
4 of the last 6.
Four of the last six, and they just won the World Series, and they don't look like they're taking a step back.
No, they just signed the 2020 AL MVP at first base.
So it's like, look, don't get me wrong, I would love to see a Blue Jays team compete in the playoffs and... You know, compete for a World Series and even win a World Series. I just still think they're far away.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with how the AL East shakes out, right? Aaron Judge still up in the air. Is he coming back to New York? Is he going to San Francisco? Is he going to LA? Remains to be seen. But if Judge were to leave the AL East, that would be a boon for the Toronto Blue Jays for obvious reasons.
Yeah, it would.
Getting him out of there.
It would.
And the Yankees would make some kind of adjustment and bring somebody else in. But you can't replace 62 dingers. That's just not available unless you can, I don't know, bring Mark McGwire out of retirement, you know, fire him up with some roids and get him going again. But that's just not out there. That's not available. Mm-hmm. So for the Jays, I think right now they'd probably be amongst the top favorites in the American League. But, you know, they still have a lot of business to take care of. But bringing Mattingly in would be a really shrewd move.
100%.
And it'd be a score for the Jays.
Especially for John Schneider, who is taking over the reins as the full-time manager of this team. On a new 3-year deal, considering the job he did taking over, you know, last year with this group for Charlie Montoyo. So, yeah, I mean, it would definitely help, you know, bring his knowledge, his experience to, you know, to this clubhouse. I think it would be a significant move for the Blue Jays. But again, this offseason needs to play out. And even if it does, I can't see them being in the market for a significant piece, unless you're talking about a Shohei Ohtani that they can bring in through trade. I mean, you look at the open market, is there somebody out there that's going to change?
Like a shortstop, they could go out and get Correa or Swanson, then move Bichette to second, then all of a sudden your team looks that much filthier. Maybe you get to pick up an arm, maybe there's a trade to be made.
Yeah.
The MLB offseason plays out so slowly. Think about baseball, think about hockey and basketball.
You know,
like
right away.
July 1st, okay, oh, Claude Giroux, and this happens. You know, it's all these things just like, and I guess there were a couple of names like, you know, McCadrey kind of carried out over a couple of weeks, but that's rare.
That's very
rare. And for baseball, it's like literally of 3 months. Like, I have no idea when any of these guys are going to get done. So that's not the most compelling thing. But I suppose it also remains in the conversation at all times. Quickly, the MLB's Contemporary Baseball Era Committee is convening on Sunday. And this is the Veterans Committee, where they decide on guys who have already had their 10 years of Hall of Fame candidacy elapse. And those names would include Don Mattingly, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Curt Schilling, and they need 75% of the vote to get in on the 16-person panel. And I wonder,
Bonds get in?
Wonder Bonds, Clemens, wouldn't that be something? They get in on this veterans committee as opposed to all the writers who are like, you know, the customary way to do things. And I believe there was someone who got in, I can't remember, last year through that committee that didn't get in through the first 10 years. But we'll remain apprised on that situation. Wouldn't that be something? Barry Bonds, my boy.
Be great for content.
It really would be. And we'll find out on Sunday.
Well, hey, maybe he'll win the lottery, just like somebody else won the lottery this morning.
Oh, you were talking about this. Yeah.
So apparently there was a winning ticket sold in Ontario for Tuesday's $60 million Lotto Max jackpot. And AK, I bought a ticket.
Okay.
So,
do you continue to work at TSN if you win 60?
Hell no.
You just hang them up?
You would never see me again.
I guess you're not going to be a member of Rattle.
I would move so far out of this country, I'd buy an island where somewhere where nobody can bother me.
We'd still team up on our picks pool in the NFL, right?
Dude, I'm not moving away from the NFL. Okay, the NFL is still a big, big part of my life, including fantasy football.
Well, I mean, you hope it rains for me and Playa del Carmen. I hope you don't win the lottery. That's their retribution.
That is a
It would be wild if you did win the lottery. You don't take home 60 mil. It's probably, half that after taxes, right?
No, there's no taxes for lottery winnings in Canada.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You seem to have done a lot of research on that.
Well, it's been well known for a long time.
Oh, okay. I guess I'm not that aware about the lottery, but I hope you win. I do.
60.
If you win, can I have like 500 grand?
Of course.
Okay.
I would take care of the people around me.
500 grand. All right. Let's go check that ticket. Let's go on the OLG website or whatever.
No, you said I hope I lose.
You still said I would get 500 grand, though.
Yeah, if I win.
Okay. So I hope you win now. I hope you win. We're big winners on the other side as Brett Hedekin will join us. Looking forward to that. A man whose skating style you look to emulate and whose broadcasting style maybe is the same because quality broadcaster, great guest.
Mine, though.
Looking forward to welcoming him into the show. It is the Leafs and the Sharks tonight. Hedekin next on First Up. It's the Leafs and the Sharks tonight from Scotiabank Arena. The San Jose Sharks coming off a 4-0 win last night in Montreal. We'll bring the color commentator for the Sharks, Brett Hedekin, into the program in just a minute. But a lot of the focus on tonight, Coco, on Mitch Marner, his 17-game point streak. Your career high, 7-game point streak. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess Brett Hedekin, who's going to join us now, has a longer point streak in his career. Brett, can you confirm that you have beaten Carlo Koliakovos 7 games in a row with a point?
I couldn't even tell you, guys. I have no idea.
Should have just said yes.
7 games in a row with a point, I would have been so happy. I don't even know. But, you know, it's too early to be thinking about things like that, you know. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, Carlo, that's an impressive 7 games. That's great, man. That's,
yeah,
and then obviously
buddy.
Mitch Marner with 17 games. What a run he's having.
Yeah, well, when you play 1,039 games like you did, it'd probably hard to remember all the games that you played because I didn't play nearly as much. Yeah. So credit to you. But before we get into the fun stuff with you, let's talk about the San Jose Sharks. You guys were in Montreal last night. You guys got an impressive win, 4-0 over the Habs. What's your expectations with this group this year, considering they're a group that not many people thought would be very good, but surprisingly, they're having a pretty good year.
Yeah, last night was one of their better games of the season. When you look at Kaapo Kähkönen, you know, getting the shutout, his first shutout with the Sharks, he earned it. And I think the one area that the team has played, you know, amazingly that really hasn't been rewarded for is their number one penalty kill in the NHL. I mean, that's something that, you know, you'd think the Sharks would have more wins, just 8 wins on the season, and having the number one penalty kill unit, that they would have been able to rely on that a little bit more to get more wins. But, you know, it's just interesting. They just haven't been able to get the wins based on what they've done, killing penalties. And last night they killed a big one there at the start of the third period, 5-on-3. They navigate through that. They killed, I think 7 penalties that they took in the game. And just really a solid, sound win for the Sharks. And it took them 6 wins or 6 games to get a win in the season, and now here they are with 8 over the last 25 games. So they've stabilized the rudder. They're finding ways to get guys to contribute. Logan Couture, for me, has been just a terrific season so far. Looking at him, 12 games, 12 goals already on the season, and just a phenomenal 13 goals, scored again last night. And but just a really fun season for Erik Karlsson to bounce back. It has been an interesting season all the way around.
We're joined by Brett Hedekin, and Brett, you mentioned it. I think one of the players that most people are surprised with is Erik Karlsson. He's a big reason why San Jose is having the success that they're having, leading all D-men in scoring, 32 points, you being a former D-man as well as myself. But what have you seen in his game right now that has allowed him to refine his youth and his game that, you know, allowed him to dominate the league for so many years in San Jose? Is it the departure of Brent Burns and now him getting the, you know, the full number one minutes, or is it just, you know, the fact that he's healthy and you know, finding his game again?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of things, and I'm going to start with David Quinn, the head coach. He, you know, flew out to Ottawa in the summer to meet with him and sat down with him and really talked to him. And I think there were some really interesting things, I think, that came out of that conversation. One, the fact that Erik Karlsson told, you know, David Quinn that he wanted to be held more accountable. And that's interesting, right, coming from a player to say, hey, I want you to hold me more accountable. And he just said that he just hasn't been held accountable enough throughout his course of his career. And he's demanding that from his coach, and he wanted that as a player. So that's a really neat thing for me to hear from an elite player that's looking to be put more in the spotlight, wanted to be more on the edge of something that they can rely on and count on and be held to that fire. And I'm going to be honest with you, and that's exactly what David Quinn has been able to do with Erik Karlsson. He has held him accountable. He has really pushed him to be a better player. And now with Brent Burns, you know, leaving, going to Carolina, you know, he's had to sit him down to say, look, you are no longer just a guy on a great hockey player. I mean, you roll out of bed and you're great. For me, you don't need to take risks. The game will come to you. You can create offense. And so he's got him to try to taper it down on nights where he maybe is trying to force offense. He's, you know, teaching him how to let that game kind of unfold and that offense just to really handle itself. And I think the team practicing at a higher level, David Quinn has forced this team to skate more in practice. Now, with the Sharks on the West Coast, you don't have a lot of practice days. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the tough thing about being on the West Coast. So he's really had to push this team not only in morning skates, he's had to take advantage of any practice days that they have to be able to skate at a higher level in practice to then play it up at a higher pace. So I think those combinations of Karlsson skating at a higher level in practice, being held more accountable, and then every other guy playing at a higher level as well within the course of practice. And I think those are just a few of the things that's helped Karlsson really have a bounce back year.
Our guest is Brett Hedekin. He's the color commentator for the San Jose Sharks, who take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Brett, you are aware that Jeff O'Neill is our colleague, your former teammate in Carolina. And the O-Dog likes to tell the story about you teaching him how to play guitar back in the day. And he did not necessarily take to the guitar. And I don't know exactly how proficient you are, but my understanding is it was not a lot of lessons between you and the O-Dog with guitar. Can you fill us in?
He's. I didn't see his fingers moving the way it needed to move up and down the guitar fretboard to be able to be a good guitarist. I think he started, you know, showing me what he could do, and didn't want to probably put the time in, the effort to get his fingers to move up and down the fretboard, so I just kind of put the guitar away for him. I think that was about the extent of it.
That's how he taught him. Hey, yeah. You know what? Here's a teaching lesson for you. Don't play
close
guitar.
The case, Jeff. Close the case. I always love that. Anytime the music comes up on Overdrive, the show that O-Dog co-hosts, he always brings up Brett Hedekin every time. He's like, oh, yeah, Brett Hedekin tried to teach me how to play guitar. Didn't go over well.
Oh, yeah. Brett, I got to ask you, because I mentioned before you came on how, you know, you weren't one of my favorite players growing up, but you were one of the guys that I was really envious of because of how amazing you skated playing the game of hockey. Do you ever think back in your career, you've played over 1,000 games, I'm pretty sure it was like 17, 18 seasons you played. Do you ever think that with your skating ability playing in today's game, how much more of a better defenseman you could have been, even though you were a good one?
Hey, well, you know, I think the 2005 lockout, or 2004, 2005, when they switched the rules of obstruction, right? That was the moment for me that, man, I just remember back when I first came into the NHL, I was trying to get up in the play all the time. And that was something that I just did as a player all the time in college and even in high school. And And before that, I was just a defenseman that I love to play defense, first of all, and I love to be able to see the game in front of me, but then I also love to join the rush. Mm-hmm. And but when I entered the NHL, boy, it was like every time I hit the throttle deep in my defensive zone to try to jump into play, I had a guy lasso around my waist, and I was hauling people up the ice all night long. And before you knew it, you just stopped getting up the ice because of just the interference. So I think that rule in itself in 2004-2005 lockout really helped the NHL. It helped defensemen be able to navigate up the ice and add to the rush. And so, yeah, I think in today's game, if I were to just be starting my career, it would have helped me offensively. But, you know, no regrets. I'm really appreciative for my time in the NHL. I'm really proud of saying I played as long as I did in the NHL and played with some great teams. You know, winning a cup in 06 was a really special moment with a bunch of great men, you know, and I think I always, it just puts a smile on my face. Not so much that, you know, my name is on the cup and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I think when you win, you kind of sit back and you go, man, what a group of men to win with, right? Yeah. And I think those are the things you really appreciate over time.
Well, hey, in Toronto, we just want to win a playoff round, you know, considering the success this team lack of success this team has had in the playoffs. And obviously, there's a lot of talk about Stanley Cup here, but San Jose is in town to play the Maple Leafs. Based on what you see from the Maple Leafs, do you believe this team has what it takes to compete for a Stanley Cup come April?
Well, when you have a guy like Austin Matthews and John Tavares, and, you know, you've got some other guys now that, you know, and Mitch Marner and William Nylander has played, has an amazing start to the season as well with 13 goals. I mean, he's having a really solid year. But, you know, it's having that sort of core and backbone of what you guys have had over the last few years and waiting for that right moment to plug in the right players that fit, that take you over the top. You know, I always talk about, you know, you've got your top six forwards, and you guys are set there. It's the second six, and a lot of people want to use the term bottom six. I hate the term. I don't think you win with a bottom six. You win with a second six that understands the process of what it takes to be able to be a third and fourth line. If you can go back to every Stanley Cup of the last 20 years, you can think of third and fourth lines that made a difference. I mean, right. Tampa, just in for instance, is a team that won with their second six and their defense. So I think you guys are probably missing a couple of pieces still, but I think you guys have the core to be able to strike when that iron's going to be hot, when you have the right second six and the right defense core and the right goaltender that can get you the save at the right time. Now, I'm saying a lot of things there, but if you don't have the core, which you guys have, you don't win, and you've got the core. So it's finding those right other pieces to fit at the right moment to put you guys over the top.
Brett Hedekin, longtime NHL defenseman, San Jose Sharks, color commentator, former guitar teacher of Jeff O'Neill. Thank you for doing this for us, man. We appreciate your time.
No problem. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Take
Brett.
Care, buddy.
That's Brett Hedekin. And yeah, you do forget that he lives in California, right? I mean, I'm sure his body hasn't fully adjusted to the time zone. It's kind of like 5:56 in the morning over there. So shout out to Brett Hedekin, kind enough to join us. Big fan of Hedy.
Yeah, I said, he's a guy that, like I said, wasn't my favorite player growing up, but as a guy that I watched a lot.
You could have told him he was your favorite player.
No, but I'm honest.
You were my favorite player, Brett. He'd be like,
honestly,
you're full of it.
One of my favorite players is one of his former teammates.
Jovo Kopp. You love Jovo Kopp.
I loved Ed Jovanovski when I grew up, like, just because he was a guy that, again, was an offensive defenseman, but he played the game tough. Like, and when I say tough, like, he, like, not tough like beating the crap out of guys, but tough like competitively tough. And I just loved it. I loved watching it. And he played for the Florida Panthers, and the Panthers weren't a team that I literally like what I was a fan of, but they were a team that I followed because I loved their logo. Like, the original Panthers logo, like, it was...
With the Pavel Bure days?
Yeah, like, just unbelievable.
John Van Beesbrook?
Johnny Van Beesbrook, buddy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jovo Kopp did say he was going to invite us to his golf tournament. That never happened. I'm just realizing
so
that.
So, I wasn't on the show that day.
That's right.
Yes.
Did he reach out to you?
I wish he would.
Oh, next year, we're going to Jovo Kopp's tournament.
Sign me up, buddy.
Yeah, we're in for Jovo Kopp. And, you know, maybe we'll go to Buffalo for the playoffs if the Bills are fortunate enough to get there. think they will, but they've got a big game tomorrow night in New England against the Patriots. We recall the last time these two teams played did not go so well for New England. How about this time around? We'll ask Sal Capaccio, who covers the Bills next.